The title of the message tonight is Stop Up That Leak. Stop Up That Leak. Now, I'm going to tell one of my favorite stories. In fact, I have a few I want to use tonight, but this is one of my favorite stories of all time. It was the last day of school, and so the children were bringing gifts to their teacher or teachers, you know, in the school. And in this one particular classroom, the florist's son brought the teacher a bouquet, which was very nice. And then the candy store owner's son brought the teacher a really pretty box of candy. But then there was the liquor store owner's son, and he brought a big heavy box to the teacher, and the teacher kind of lifted it up and kind of noticed that it was leaking a little bit. And so she touched a drip of that liquid with her finger and tasted it and trying to figure out what is this. And she's thinking it's the liquor store owner's kid. And so she says, is this a bottle of wine or something? And a little boy says, no. She tasted another drop. She says, is it champagne? He says, no, it's just a puppy. Let me ask you another question. Anybody here ever had a flat tire from a slow leak? Maybe it seemed fine the night before, but you got up to go leave for work or whatever, and the tire's flat or whatever, you know. Most Christians who go back on serving the Lord in some way in their life, it's not the product normally of a blowout in most cases, although sometimes that is the thing. They have a traumatic thing that happens, and for whatever reason, maybe they get mad at God or whatever. Sometimes it is kind of a blowout thing. But most people, that's not the case. Most people, it's a slow leak happening in their life in some place, in some way. And so that's really what we want to talk about tonight. You know, one time, once I had a slow leak in a boat. Did that ever happen to somebody? I had a slow leak happening in a boat, and I don't know what it was, but I kept getting this sinking feeling, right? But no, I literally did. One time my dad and me went fishing. We were so excited to take my boat out, and we went out to Toledo Bend. I don't know why that wouldn't come to me. To Toledo Bend. I had never been fishing out in Toledo Bend in a boat, and I was so excited. So me and my dad went out, and Corey went with us. And Corey had been out there, and he knew a few spots. So, boy, I was so excited. I'm going to take my boat out there. And we're out there fishing. And that lake, I'm going to tell you, it's a big, deep lake. And we're out there fishing, and I noticed, man, the boat, it didn't want to get up on top of the water. And, just couldn't figure out what was going on. Then all of a sudden, water starts wanting to come up through by the transom where the engine is. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Something wrong with this boat. And it started getting so bad, I realized it's dangerous. This is dangerous. And so I started heading toward the coast as much as possible. And we could only get so close because it was shallow, got kind of shallow up around there. But all we could do is I had to throw a rope out, and there was a big log on the side of the water. And we tied that thing off on that log. And I kept trying to turn my bilge pump on, and I couldn't get the bilge pump to work. And I realized, man, it's a double-hull boat. And the whole bottom, I opened up, the back of the boat and looked inside. The whole bottom was just completely covered in water. It was full. It was really full of water. So what had happened was apparently a dirt dauber had got into the bilge pump hose and clogged that thing up. So we had to sacrifice a fishing pole to try to shove it in there and get that thing cleared out. But the boat just about sunk, and it's kind of like that in life. You know, I didn't notice the leak was happening for a long time. We were out there for a pretty good bit of time before I realized that the boat was starting to sink. And so that's a bad feeling. And you know what? It's the same way in life. It's like that for some reason, it just seems like I just can't get up on the water. Seems like we just can't move forward the way I think I should, or maybe even the way I used to. Like something's wrong, you know? And so, unfortunately, when people they got a leak happening in their life, unfortunately, a lot of people are just really in denial of it. You ask them how they're doing, and they'll just say, what? I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. One guy said, my mechanic thinks I'm in denial over my brake fluid leak. But he's wrong. I can stop anytime I want. That sound familiar? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, gives us the warning to guard our salvation. And this, I guess this is the thing that I really want people to see, because I grew up in church, and I know what it's like because I experienced it, a time in my life where I really just took my salvation for granted. I took the presence of the Lord for granted. I took everything, his gifts, his blessings, I took it all for granted, and I was in a situation like what this describes, and I was really, I'm describing it as I had some things leaking out of my life, but another way to describe it is I was drifting and didn't even realize I was drifting, because it's a slow process. And you don't even realize you're in trouble until you're deep in trouble. And so today I want to look at some areas where we might be leaking in a way that can really, really mess up our walk with Christ. And I'm sure that there are many more than what we're going to talk about, but these are some things that I think we can lose, that and it kind of happens slowly. It kind of happens, we're just going about life, doing life, trying to earn a living, trying to take care of our families, trying to just do what we have to do in life, and we can lose some things, and it's usually kind of a slow leak that's happening. Number one is that sometimes we let our love leak out. Revelation chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, this is a scripture that the Lord has dealt with me many, many times over the years. It says, you have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Jesus wants us to keep that first love relationship alive. And he can't do it for us. Nobody can do it for us. A pastor in your life can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you if you have a spouse. Brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ can't do it for you. It's up to us to keep that love alive and strong. And so it's very easy to move from relationship to rituals. This is why I constantly talk about this. When we take an offering up, when we take communion together, the things that we do, even baptism is one of those things. Well, even coming to church is one of those things that where we can just be going through motions and really have no love in our heart for God or for anybody else for that matter. Our heart starts to grow cold, but yet we're a Christian, and I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I'm going to church, I'm going through these motions, but it can very easily happen. You know, at first, someone's relationship with the Lord it's from the heart. But in time, there is a danger of it becoming performance-based. And we're only doing it because it's expected out of us. But there's no joy in it because there's really no worship in it. My worship of the Lord is my expression of my love for Him. And worship isn't just singing songs, as we say all the time. It's, I do what I do because I love the Lord, not because I have to. And if we ever get to that place, and there have been times when I felt like I kind of reached that place. I felt like I was just going through motions. And to be honest with you, it's like, oh, man, I really don't want to go stand up in front of a bunch of people and talk today. Because I was dealing with my own issue, my own something going on, some kind of discouragement trying to come on me. And I remember telling Pastor Cindy, this was years ago, but I remember telling Pastor Cindy, I said, I don't even want to do it. I feel like I'm going to be a hypocrite, go stand in front of people and preach to people when, I got this situation happening in my heart. But what I found out is when I was obedient, the Lord took care of the situation in my heart, because it made me realize, you know what, something's wrong. And I need to get it right before Him. And it always comes with repentance. And so in time, again, there's a danger of just becoming performance-based, doing this, doing that, serving here, serving there. Understand, God doesn't just want servants. And it is important that we serve, But what God really wants is sons and daughters who serve. Jesus said, don't let your love leak out. Don't let the pure water of your life slip through the cracks. I want you to go ahead and tell somebody, stop up that leak. Now, I started to name this something else, and I was going to have you say it all along the way. But I thought, nah, that might sound a little ugly. But I was going to call this, put a plug in it. All right. So I was going to have you turn to your neighbor and say, put a plug in it. But we're going to just say, stop up that leak. Number two, sometimes we let our joy leak out. David prayed in Psalm chapter 51, verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Again, part of David's prayer of repentance. Usually when the joy is not there, it's because there's just something not quite right. And when you have no joy in your heart, it's a good sign to you that you really need to run to God and say, Lord, expose me to myself. If there's anything in me, this is what David's doing. If there's anything in me that's displeasing to you, show it to me. I want it out of my life. And it's amazing how the joy will come back. Listen, when a person first gets saved, they're exhilarated. I mean, when they are really saved and they recognize, they literally recognize that their destination just changed from hell to heaven and that the burden of their sin has been lifted from their life, there's joy there. And man, it's hard to wipe the smile off of their face. They're cram-packed with joy, and it's that joy of salvation. And it's so sad when someone's joy leaks out. I've seen it. Listen, I've seen it many times over the years. I've seen people who went from just smiling and enthusiastic about the Lord to, like, every time you see them, they're just, you know, they're kind of moping. You could see the discouragement. And I want to tell you, the good news is we don't have to stay that way. There's no fulfillment left in their life. And there's no fulfillment left in serving God. I mean, and also, what's the use? Why would I even do this? You know, the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So don't lose your joy in the Lord. You know, years ago, I preached a message and it was entitled, Sometimes You Feel Like a Nut. And I used it based on this, you know, scripture, of course, but on this story about a preacher who went to visit an older lady. Some of you might remember this. I was an older lady at his church, and he went to go visit this older lady, and she had a bowl of peanuts on the coffee table. And so he sat there, and as he's talking to the lady, she never says anything to him, but he's sitting there eating them peanuts, you know, a few at a time, reaching in the bowl and, you know, take another, you know, handful and throw them in his mouth. And before he knew it, he had eaten all the peanuts in that lady's bowl. And when he realized, he kind of got embarrassed and he apologized. He said, I'm so sorry. I've eaten all your peanuts. The old lady says, oh, don't worry about that, preacher. I done sucked all the chocolate off of them anyway. Right? And sometimes life is like that. Am I right? Sometimes you feel like all the chocolate's been sucked off of your life and there's nothing sweet left. Right? And it makes you a little nutty. Right? So listen, if you're a Christian and you can't seem to be joyful about anything right now, if life seems to have knocked the breath out of you, if trials and tribulations have worn you down, remind yourself, and this is what I do often, remind yourself that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And even if everything else for the rest of my life goes wrong, the moment I die, something very right's going to happen. So understand, this life is not all there is, and it's very easy to get focused on this life. It's very easy to get focused on a lot of things that don't matter. I like what one preacher said. Again, I've used this over the years, but I love it. He said, life is like the Monopoly game. You work hard, you know, for money and for houses and lands and all of this kind of stuff, but when your life is over, it all goes back into the box because you can't take any of it with you. At some point, understand, that trumpet's going to blow. At some point, Jesus is going to wrap this whole thing up. At some point, he's going to right everything that was wrong, and he's going to permanently take care of all the leaks, all right? But that's something to rejoice about. So don't let your joy leak out. Tell somebody again, stop up that leak. All right, number three, sometimes we let our sensitivity to God leak out. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Now, he's talking to the Hebrews here, right? And so he's talking to the Hebrews thousands of years later, but he's still saying, like you did in the rebellion during the time of the testing in the desert. He's talking about way back when they left out of Egypt, how the people, the ancestors of the people he's talking to right here, how they had hardened their hearts. And remember, the ones who hardened their hearts were not able to even go into the promised land. And a lot of people don't realize that, but out of the millions of people who came out of Egypt, only the ones who were born in the wilderness, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, but only the ones who were born in the wilderness who were really 19 years and younger, teenagers and younger, as well as Joshua and Caleb, were even able to get into the promised land. Why? Because they hardened their hearts. They rebelled. And, you know, there will be a testing and there will be plenty of time to go through the desert. Don't let your heart get hard. We talked about that the other day. But notice what he says. You do not harden your heart. In other words, what he's saying is you're responsible for your heart. If your heart gets hard, you can't blame anybody. It ain't your mama's fault, your daddy's fault, your husband, your wife, your friend, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your boss, or God. It's nobody's fault but our own if we harden our heart. That's why he tells us, do not harden your heart. And when we choose to look at things and handle things a way different than the way God directed us to, our hearts automatically become hardened. So we must remain sensitive to God's voice and his leading in our lives. This world has a natural way, if we're not careful, of hardening our heart. And it takes special care on your part to keep your heart and your spirit in tune with God. Again, nobody can do that for us. It's impossible. It takes us being aware and saying, I refuse to allow this to happen. So it got so bad for Israel that even though they were seeing miracles by God, they still got hardened toward God. And again, think about this. Literally, God is feeding them every day, supernaturally. The food just shows up. Their clothes never wears out. Their shoes never wear out. They're all loaded with money. They all got money, but their hearts were hard. God had really blessed them, but their hearts got hard. So don't let your sensitivity to God leak out. Tell somebody, stop up that leak. All right, number four, sometimes we let our burden for the lost leak out. And I want to tell you, that happens a lot in churches. We have to be careful. I've been talking about this quite a bit. Church of the Promise, we must be careful that we don't just become a church full of people who just come and do our religious thing and forget about the great commission that he has called us to, and just come and we have church and we say, well, that was a good church service, or maybe we gripe about it and say, that was a terrible church service, whatever people say. But if we forget about the burden for the lost, if we allow that to leak out of our lives, the church will die. Y'all hear me? It will die. And it's all of our responsibility to try to reach people, to love, to share the love of God, to share the truth, to share our testimony. It's all of our responsibility to do that. It's all of our responsibility to invite people. It's all of our responsibility to make a difference. It's all of our responsibility that when someone does show up here that's new, that we don't act like they're not here. Can I get a bigger amen? I fussed about this before, and it's gotten a whole lot better. But I used to get so mad. I'd stand up here at the pulpit and I would say, now look, if there's somebody here you've never met, make sure to greet them. Make sure to shake their hand. Let them know it was good to see them today. And then what happens is the same people group up with the same people they always talk with every Sunday, while new people just walk right by them and head out the door. This church has gotten a lot better about that, you know. But I'll tell you, we all have a part to play. Let's not forget about the loss. Let's not forget about the people who desperately need God. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I preached a whole message on that when I was going through the commands. Like sheep without a shepherd, they were harassed and helpless. And we have to see people for the situation that they're really in. They may look like they have it all together, but if the Lord's not in their life, they're harassed and helpless. And unfortunately, they don't even know it many times. So compassion for the lost is one of the most important parts of the Christian faith. It's a deep concern about where people will spend eternity. If I can just look at people and not care about where they'll spend eternity, can I really truly say I have the love of God in my heart? If I can just not care? So the church must always guard against becoming self-centered and losing its focus and losing its purpose of reaching the lost and making disciples for Christ. It's so easy for us to get self-centered. It's so easy. And what's happening? Well, that as the way we're describing it tonight, sometimes the burden for lost people just leaks out. And again, it's usually a slow leak. There are some of you, when you first got saved, you were telling anybody and everybody who would listen. And some of you, it's been a while since you told anybody about what the Lord has done in your life or brought the gospel to them. So again, it all comes down to we start getting self-centered. And I like what, you know, even with worship, the Lord dropped something in my heart a while back, and I've said it many times, but worship was never intended by God to be consumed by the people. It was always intended by God to be consumed by Him. And yet, most people go to church not to really give worship, but to consume the worship, to make it all about them. And they gripe about whether or not they like the songs and this and that. You ask most people today why they go to certain churches, most of them will say today, especially if it's a church that has really good music and that kind of, they'll say, well, I really love the music there. You better have a better reason for being at a church other than that you love the music, right? So, but self-centeredness can come very, very, very easy. We can make it all about us very, very easy. And we used an illustration years ago, used a video clip actually years ago about having a cruise ship mentality. How many of you remember that? Talked about the fact that we need to remember that Christianity and the church is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. On cruise ships, you're all worried about your comfort and entertainment and everything else, but ain't nobody's lives being saved. But on a battleship, it may not be comfortable, but you're accomplishing something. And it's a kingdom battleship, right? And on that battleship, of course, there's hospital quarters and everything else we need. But we got to fight. I mean, we got to fight for people. We got to fight to get them out of the grip of the enemy. And we have to remember, we are on a battleship, not a cruise ship. Just to kind of illustrate that little story, little joke kind of really. A cruise ship passes by a remote island, and all the passengers see this bearded man, long beard, and he's got shredded clothes on and, you know, no shirt. And he's, you know, he's running around like crazy, and he's waving his arms, and he's, you know, he's hollering, he's doing all this stuff. And one of the passengers says, Captain, who is that man over there? And the captain says, I have no idea who that nut is. He said, but every year when we pass by him, he just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. When you're on a cruise ship, you're not looking to save people's lives. You're there for your pleasure. And unfortunately, that is the picture of many times of the church. As we cruise past the lost, don't let your burden for lost people leak out. Tell somebody, stop up that leak. Number six, sometimes we let our burning desire for God Himself leak out. In other words, we'll say it this way, we lose our fire. This is when you find yourself, again, really just going through motions. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, really sad scripture. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What's happening there? What's happening? This scripture is describing a people who have lost their burning desire for God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 is a rebuke. Like, I never want to hear about myself. And I know you feel the same way. So listen, there's a lost intensity for worship. There's a lost intensity for the Word. There's a lost intensity for even being in the house of God. What happens is all of those things no longer become something that we long for, but they become optional. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And the things of God that become optional, especially if you're a parent and have children, the things of God that become optional to you for your children, they're going to be seen as just absolutely unnecessary at all. I mean, they're just, you know, it won't even be a part of their life. So if being in the house of the Lord, if praise and worship to Jesus, if reading and studying His Word has become a burden instead of a blessing, what's wrong? We need to get our fire renewed. We've been saying it a lot, but listen, no pastor should ever have to beg the people to read the Word of God. I remember years ago, I had a video. I don't have it anymore, or I might have even shown it tonight. But I had a video, and in this video, it's people in the Chinese church. You know, and this was years ago when they were really under real deep persecution. And the Word of God was not made available to them. And there were some missionaries who were able to, they were able to smuggle some Bibles, but they were able to smuggle some Bibles, you know, as much as they could. And they were able to meet with some of these Chinese Christians who were part of the, what they call the underground church. And when they saw the Bibles, I want to tell you the video, it made me cry my eyes out. When they saw those Bibles, they began to cry. They just begin to cry. And they didn't even, you know, they waited because they didn't want to be greedy or selfish, but they waited till a Bible was brought to them and given to them. And they would just cry and cry and hold that Bible and just hold it to their heart and just cry and cry and cry and kiss that Bible. They had never been able to have a Bible before. When I saw that, I got so convicted, because here's some people who long for, just wishing they could have a Bible. At best, many of them, had they ever seen a Bible, they would mainly get a page or two that was torn out and spread around, that kind of thing. But to have their own Bible, and yet here, there are Bibles everywhere, and you got to beg people to read them. We need our fire renewed. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16 says, I know your deeds, that you were neither hot or cold. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Now, by the way, just so you know, that the hot or cold, sometimes people will interpret that and they'll say, well, if I'm not going to be red hot, that I'm going to be ice cold and I'm going to go out and I'm going to live like a, you know, like a heathen or whatever. And they use that as an excuse, as though the Bible's telling them to go live like an idiot. But that's not what it means. In that day, it was a luxury to have either hot water or cold water, because they didn't have refrigerators. This is the Middle East. They didn't have electricity. They didn't have refrigerators. They didn't, in fact, a lot of times the water was not very cool. It was hot. To some, at least lukewarm. It was never made cold, unless they were able to find some kind of a cool spring or some kind of way in a wintertime season where it would cool off a bit. So when he said hot or cold, he doesn't mean either be blazing hot for God or go live like an idiot. No, either one of those, hot or cold, are beneficial to the people. What he's saying is, don't be lukewarm. He's saying, may your life be beneficial. May your life bring something beneficial to other people. Make sure that you understand this is not, you know, God's not giving us permission. Well, if I'm lukewarm, then I'm just going to run away from God. All right, so we have to ask ourselves, is there any fire in my life? Is there a burning desire in my spirit toward God and toward the things of God? Only you can answer that. We all have to admit that there are times when every one of us need to be revived. Am I right? Every one of us, it's like we need a fresh start. We need to get some fire. But you know what? You got to get to the place where you recognize it and then begin to ask God for it. All right? Reinhard Bonnke was one of my favorite preachers. I mean, that guy was just, he was, talk about a flame. But Reinhard Bonnke, he's passed away now, but he said this. He said, it is futile to run without the fire of the Holy Spirit. If we want to be effective, we must have the fire. That fire, understand, doesn't just mean a power from God. It is a burning desire for God. All right. Bunky also pointed out that when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, that the Bible says that the fire separated and fell on everyone in the room. And I like what he said there. He said, there is a flame for everyone. There's plenty of God's fire to go around. Don't let your passionate fire for God leak out. Tell somebody again, stop up that leak. All right, let me give you one more. Number 7. Sometimes we let our kingdom priorities leak out. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, we all know the scripture. But seek first his kingdom. What does that mean? Seek first his kingdom means seek first his rule in my life. The word kingdom comes from two words, king's domain. In other words, seek first his rule in my life and his righteousness, not a righteousness of our own, right? And all these things, the things that people chase after, the things that people pretty much will waste their whole life chasing after, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and God will get the other things to you. What I'm really talking about, really, is allowing our life, many times, we allow our life to get overcrowded with things that just really don't matter. Letting other things cause us to lose our priority on heaven and on eternal things. And, you know, one of the things